Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. John chapter 6. Turn with me there, please, if you will. We've been talking about Jesus, and our goal, again, for our series is simple. We want to know Jesus more today than we did last week. Amen? And we want to know him in more than just on an informational basis. In other words, more than just studying a historical figure, because he's so much more than just a historical figure. He's the Messiah. I mean, he's God. He's rescued us, and he's saved us, and he's helped us. And do you know that his words are spirit in their life? His words are so powerful that what he says is accomplished. It happens. Isn't that something? And so what he says, we better pay attention. So we don't want to take his words lightly. So whenever you're in your personal devotion time, or when you're gathering around like this, or maybe you're listening on the radio and somebody's preaching, just stop for a moment. Ask the Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me what's being shared from the Word of God? Open that up. Illuminate it to me. Have you ever read a scripture maybe 15 times, but then on that 16th time, all of a sudden just something jumps from the page? That's what I'm talking about. A revelation, if you will, from the Word of God, because once we get revelation, then we can apply that to our lives, then transformation happens. Information's a head full of knowledge. Transformation is a life full of Christ, and that's what we want. Amen? We want to be transformed each day more into his likeness. And so the result of that will there again be a deeper relationship with Christ, but also it'll help us to be more impactful in our witness for Jesus in the earth. So in John chapter 6 and 35, let's get after it. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So there again, the bigger picture, if you will, is that he's talking to them about him being the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so as Jesus is making these statements, he's giving a glimpse into that bigger picture of him being the Messiah, but also how that relates to us as his children. Each statement, we get a new perspective or maybe a deeper glimpse, if you will. So we understand Jesus saves, but we don't have to stop there. Amen. We can go deeper into our relationship with Christ. A lot of people stop at the cross. And trust me, I'm not saying that in a bad way. And when I say that, they just get saved and then that's it. But there's so much more in Christ. The cross is the entrance into a beautiful life with Christ. And so we want to dig in deeper into our relationship with him, into our understanding, a more intimate relationship with Christ. And you know what? He wants that desperately with us, so much so that he gave his life for us. Wow, he took the penalty for us. That's how much he desires a relationship with us. So we don't stop there, but we want to continue to press in. And so not only has he saved us, but the other statements that we've read is that Jesus said that we've studied is he is our good shepherd. He watches over us. And he cares for us. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He's conquered sin and gives us power to overcome sin as well. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I'm the true vine. Not only will I save you, but I'm the vine. I'm the connection. I'm the resource to life and the entrance into a new life filled with purpose. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. I am your protector. Boy, we sure need that today, don't we, huh? He said, I'm your protector and I'm your sustainer. And so now today, as we're looking at this sixth statement that Jesus made, he says, I am the bread of life. Now, bread is referenced in scripture some 400 times. And it's not because the authors were hungry, like you might be right now. I shouldn't have said anything because all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, man. So anyways, bread is referenced in Scripture over 400 times and symbolic of a lot of things. Bread is used in the Passover celebration to remind of the affliction and the things that happened, but also how God, His strong hand, delivered them out of Egypt. Bread is used in Shabbat to signify God's provision as they left Egypt and went to the Promised Land. Do you remember when angels came to Abraham and to Sarah? And the Bible says that she made a bread for them as a sign of welcoming them into their house, as a sign of hospitality. Jesus even said, just before he was to be crucified, and him and the disciples around the table, and the Bible says he took and he broke bread, and he told them, this bread symbolizes what I'm about to do with my body. My body is going to be broken for you. And so bread has great significance in Jewish culture and in Scripture. And so when Jesus spoke of bread, when he said, I am the bread of life, and he mentioned bread, they had an understanding of what bread and its significance was. But what he wanted them to understand was the significance of who he is in their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there again, the whole context is Jesus talking to them, teaching them, showing them, fulfilling Scripture and prophecy, rather, that he is the Messiah. Okay? Now, we look back and we're studying this, understanding that he is. But I want you to if you can, just to begin to look at this as like, this is the first time I'm hearing this. And so I understand what bread means. But now he's saying to me, I'm the bread of life. What does that mean? How does that fit into my life? I know how that fits into my culture, but how does that fit into my life? So let's look at the conversation that Jesus had been having with them. And there again, a little bit of context is, prior to this, he had just fed some 10,000 people with one sack lunch. Thousands of people had been healed from all kinds of sickness and disease. Many signs and wonders. Thousands were gathering around and they were listening to him teach. Now, after all of that had happened, the Bible says that he jumped in a boat. He went over onto the other side of the lake. So here's what happened. The crowd followed him there. And now we pick the conversation up in John chapter 6. And now we're looking at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered. He said, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill and was satisfied. Now, Jesus is calling them out there again because he wants to shift their focus from a natural standpoint, or a natural focus, if you will, to a spiritual focus. They're talking about bread. He says, you've only come to me because basically you're hungry again. What does he want to do? He's trying to shift their focus from the temporal to the eternal. So let's continue on. He says, verse 27, so don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. There again, he's trying to shift from the temporal to the eternal. So I don't want you to think, well, he's telling them not to work. Wouldn't that be cool, huh? You know, go ahead and quit work and all that. No, he's not saying quit work. What he's telling them, he's simply saying, is you've spent all of this time searching for me over these last several hours, and I'm clear over on the other side of the lake, and you found me, and you spent all this energy just because you're hungry, and it's time to eat again. And so he wasn't chiding them, if you will, for searching for him. He was calling them out because of their motivation. It's kind of like this. How about this? You go into the doctor and you say, Doc, I've got this problem that's going on. Would you give me a pill? Okay, fair enough. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. But if you take it just a little bit deeper, the doctor's gone to school to understand your body. He or she has gone to school for many years, and you know, to get a better understanding of the systems of the body and how the body works. Now, the doctor could tell you very easily and give you wisdom on what you could do so that you wouldn't have to take a pill. You could just change the way you live so that you could bypass the medication and you could be healthy. But what we want is just a quick fix. We want the pill to fix what's going on. So what are we saying? Doc, treat the symptom, not the problem. You know, let's just treat the system. Patch me up so I can continue to live the way that I want to. This is what they were doing to Jesus. They were telling him, we're hungry and this and that, so on, so on. And the conversation is going as we're beginning to read. But what Jesus is trying to do is trying to take their focus off the symptom into a deeper problem that they're having. And that's this, is from the natural point. They're always thinking, they're spending all this time trying to find him because of the natural, not because of what he can do for them spiritually. So here's what they did. Then they asked him, I'm looking at verse 28 now, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus said, it's simple. He said, the work of God is this, believe on the one that he sent. What is Jesus doing? Simple. He's again trying to turn their focus onto him. So they asked him, well, what miraculous sign then are you going to give us so that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So now picture this, if you will. Jesus has just fed thousands of people with one sack lunch. He's healed them, even has raised the dead. I mean, there's lots of things that he's already done. And yet they're still missing this spiritual revelation. There again, what's the context that Jesus is telling them? He's telling them, I am the Messiah. They are completely missing it because they're stuck on the natural. And so Jesus says to them, he says, I'll tell you the truth. It wasn't Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. There again, trying to get them to look at this from a spiritual standpoint, from an eternal standpoint. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now look at their response in verse 34. Sir, not Messiah, not Son of God, not I get it, I believe, but sir, like he's any old Joe Schmo, right? They said, well, give us this bread. They were so stuck on the natural, they still didn't get it. So look at what Jesus does. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I've told you, you've seen me, and yet you still don't believe. Now, of course, I wasn't there, so I can't say that this is actually what happened, but I can kind of picture in my mind after this conversation, after everything that Jesus has done and all of the miracles, and they're just not getting it. And finally, he just says, come on, people, it's me. Can you see that? Have you ever done that before when you're just trying to get through somebody's head and you say, can't you see this? What in the world is going on? It's so simple, and yet they just can't get it. And so I could just picture Jesus saying, come on, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about a loaf of regular bread that'll just feed you for now and then you'll get hungry in a couple hours. I'm talking about the bread of life. I'm so much more than a bowl of soup. I'm the Messiah. And I can give you life to where you'll never be hungry again. I can satisfy the hunger in your soul. Whole nother level. How is this possible? How is it that Jesus can satisfy the hunger in your soul? It's because Jesus is our peace. Write that down. Meditate upon that this week. Jesus is my peace. You see, in God's original plan, we were to live in total peace. No war. Imagine a place without conflict, without poverty, without sickness of any kind. People wonder, why is death so difficult for us? It's because we weren't created in God's original plan to have to deal with our loved ones dying. It wasn't God's plan. And so God's grace is there for us, but it wasn't part of his original design. Some of these things that we face, we weren't created to exist in that type of an environment. But yet, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when they did that, they traded our peace for this promise that Satan gave them that they would be like God and they would understand good and evil. They literally traded our peace because we were supposed to live in a place where we wouldn't have to toil for our daily provision. You know, we were just talking about that this morning. We don't have to plant weeds. They just seem to grow and flourish. Everywhere in the world, they grow and they flourish. But what do you have to watch out for and make sure it's watered right? Your potatoes. Your carrots, because weeds will overtake them and kill them out. The fruit of the earth, the Bible says now it's going to come by the toil or by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to fight for it. We wasn't designed to do that in God's original plan, if you will. But yet here we are because they allowed sin to enter in the world. They destroyed our peace with God. And they sent all of us on a journey to find the peace that we were originally created for. If you think about it, it's the very fundamental thing. It lies at the very foundation of the reason that the world is in such disarray today. It's because they're in pursuit of peace. Now, you may or may not agree with me on that, but listen to this. Take a minute and just ponder these next few statements and tell me if it's not true. Because we're trying to find peace in prosperity, we've created a world full of greed and dishonesty and jealousy. There again, sin destroyed our peace with God, and in our pursuit to try to fill that void, we're trying prosperity. What's happened? Greed, right? Dishonesty. There's jealousy in the world. Why did they get a brand new car? Because we tried to find peace in power. We've created a world that's constantly bickering and fighting. A world that's full of war. Because we tried to find peace in promiscuity, we created a world that's full of abortion. STDs are rampant. We've got rape. We've got pornography. We could go on and on and on about all the things that we have tried to put in that space where God fits. Because we're simply trying to be at peace with our Creator, though we have no idea what we're talking about. Why do you think our job is so important? It's because we are reintroducing to people that peace that they can have in Christ. And now while it would seem as though the picture is at best bleak and humanity is way too far gone, listen, in the midst of all this darkness, Jesus is declaring, I'm the bread of life. All you've got to do is come to me. And that hunger will stop. That thirst will stop. That searching will stop. Because first of all, I'll restore your peace with the Father. It's where it all starts. When our relationship was severed because of sin with the Father, what's the first thing they did? They begin to worry because they had to cover themselves. They begin to worry, what's he going to think about us now? They begin to worry. All of a sudden, they went into a panic and they hid. Notice the difference. Interesting, isn't it? You see, peace with God is where it all starts. All of humanity comes to the same place where we finally realize that the hunger for our soul, in our soul, is for God. This is where it starts. It's to be at peace with God. Right standing, right fellowship. A lot of people try to feed that hunger with all kinds of things. But the only way the hunger from the soul is satisfied is to be at peace with God. And that only happens through Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people today get upset when we say that Jesus Christ is the only way. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But they get upset at us. No, there's all kinds of ways. As if we were the ones that made that decision. No, God made that decision. That was his decision as to how that relationship would be fixed, as to the answer for sin. The Holy Spirit revealed this to Peter, and he wrote that Jesus was chosen to give his life before the world was even created. It was their decision. It wasn't ours. And notice this, when the time came for Jesus to give his life, Paul said in Romans 4:25 that he was delivered over to death for our sins. but he was raised to life for our justification. Hallelujah. And look at what happened. So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, notice what he says. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what everybody is searching for, from the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest. Everyone is trying to fill that void that only Jesus can fill, but it's only going to happen when we are finally make our peace with God. A second reason the hunger, the searching, the thirst stops is because Jesus gives us peace with our past. Question. Have you ever felt disqualified from your purpose in Christ because of some of the things that you may have done in your past? I'm unworthy. I'm whatever you want to put in that blank. Listen to what the Lord told Jeremiah. This is something else. This will transform you if you'll just take this deep into your soul. He said this, the word of the Lord came to me and he said this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I love this particular translation. It says it this way on this same scripture. It says, I chose you before I gave you life. Think about it for just a minute. God chose you even before he gave you life. Before you were even born, he selected you to be a prophet to the nation. What an amazing insight there again into the bigger picture. Before Jeremiah was even born, his purpose had been established. And the same is true for you. Before you were born, your purpose had already been established in the earth. Paul said it like this, we're God's workmanship and we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to always remember this, God knew about your past before it happened and he still gave you purpose. I know some of you got to chew on that for a little bit and that's okay. So many times when it's our turn to step up to the plate, we do so and we're just so timid about it. And I just don't think that I'm worthy for this. I mean, if you only could get a glimpse of what I would consider to be the real me, then you too would come to the same conclusion. Step aside, let somebody else. But here's the thing about it is Jesus knows all that and more. And yet he still says, batter up. You're up. Let's go. Come on. What are you waiting for? Grab that bat. Let's go. Come on. Swing for the fences. Your qualification does not depend upon you. Your qualification is found in Christ. Amen. And he's the only one who will give you that peace that will help you to get over your past. In Christ, searching stops number three because he gives us peace in our present, in our now. He's a now God. I love that so much, that God is with me now. Peace is very precious and a very rare commodity in our world today. There's a lot of unrest in our world, isn't there? I mean, if you don't believe me, just turn the news on. Our world today is in perpetual war. Someone is fighting someone somewhere in the world today. So much unrest. There's so much pressure just to provide for our families today, just to be able to make it through another day. I believe when you couple all that together and then you add this truth, I believe that we're living in the very last days. And because of that, everything is being ramped up. The pressure that's against us. You know, you were born in a war. You were born in a battlefield. There is a war that's going on. Though we don't see people with guns round about us, you know, like a typical war scene, if the Lord was to open our eyes to the spirit realm, we would see warfare like we can't even imagine. The enemy's trying to attack us. The Bible says he only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And yet, yet there is something that's standing between him and that, and that's Christ and the blood of Jesus that keeps us safe and that protects us and that helps us. And yet there's this battle that's ramping up for the souls of men. Paul said it like this. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He warned him. He said, know this, that in the last days, perilous or troublesome times will come. All of these pressures, if you will, coupled with the battle that we're in, has robbed many of peace. Not just outside the church or the family of God, but inside the church of the family of God. And I'm included in that because there's times where I'm at perfect peace. I can honestly say that in whatever capacity that is for me. It may be different for you. But then all of a sudden, there might be just something that happens. And all of a sudden, I feel the enemy trying to rob me of my peace. I feel pressure of life coming in. I feel the pressures of the trouble that's trying to overtake my family. And I begin to sense that. And it's just like that invading weed that comes. If it's left alone, it'll grow and it'll cover everything in my heart. And so it has to be dealt with, or else it completely robs me of my peace. All of these pressures, all of these things coming against us. And yet, here we are today with this beautiful promise that Jesus said. He said, take heart or be of good cheer. He said, because I have overcome the world. He said, I'm the one that's done all the heavy lifting. I'm the one that's already defeated Satan. And in me, you will have peace. John chapter 14 and 27, Jesus said this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace in your heart. And the peace I give you is a gift that the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You see, the peace that Jesus gives isn't contingent upon external conditions or circumstances. I mean, how could it be? Because external circumstances could be all the way from, woohoo, man, this is the best day I've ever had. And then in an hour, you look on Facebook, what in the world is going on? My world is awful and everything is terrible and blah, 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 woe is me. Literally all in the same day. Just scroll around on some people's Facebook and you'll know what I'm talking about if you've never experienced that before. Well, we're on cloud nine. Next thing you know, it's like we're sitting right in the middle of a mud puddle thinking, what in the world happened? So how in the world could Jesus base his peace upon something that fluctuates so much when he is a constant source of help? There's no way we could maintain our peace if we depended upon that. You see, his peace transcends external circumstances. And we find his peace comes to us deep in our soul. It goes beyond our understanding, the Bible says. What does that mean? I have no idea why I'm just okay with all this and everything else is falling around about me. But man, I'm just cool with this. That's the peace that Jesus promises us. You might be here today and you say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't have that kind of peace. How in the world could I get some of that? Boy, that's a great question. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Very simple. Embrace the promise. Embrace your promise and you'll find peace. And here's why. Because there's tremendous peace in our promise. What promise are you talking about? Heaven. Stop for just a minute. Think about heaven. Jesus said this. He said, I'm going away. And while I'm gone, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me. And check this out. If I go away, I'll come again and I'll bring you to where I am. Promise in our peace. Some people look at it as a cliche that we have as a movement, but boy, it is so much more than that when we declare Jesus Christ is our soon coming King. There's coming a day when he's coming back for us. And if this body dies, listen to this. Paul said this as he wrote to Timothy. He said this, the time has come for my departure. Listen, he said, I've fought a good fight and I finished the race and I've kept the faith. And there's now in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but everybody that believes on Jesus. What a promise we have. Paul, in his writings, declared many times, I know where I've been. I know I was a bad mamma jamma, and I did all kinds of stuff. I even persecuted Christians. That's how awful I was. I know where I've been. I was bound for an eternal hell. But he says, but you know what? I know where I'm at today. Jesus has saved me. He's repurposed my life. He's given me peace that even though I did all that stuff, I can stand before you today and say that through his mercy, he saved me. And by his grace, he's kept me. And do you know what? I know exactly where I'm going. Heaven awaits me, and I can't wait to get there. If you're in need of peace today, take a minute and just remember where you happened to be before you met Christ. Some of those things that only maybe you and the closest, the ones that did it with you, your partners in crime. some of those things, just for just a second, remember where you were. And now take a moment and compare that to where you are today. Is everything perfect? No, I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, look how far you've come, baby. When you begin to think of all Jesus has brought you through, all that he saved you from, all that he's kept you from, and you begin to see the progress that you really have made because of Jesus in your life. And then on top of all that, the icing on the cake is remind yourself where you're going, what heaven's going to be like. John saw it. And he wrote about it in Revelation. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, and it was coming down out of heaven from God, and it was prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice on the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be them and be their God. And look at this. And then in the midst of all this glory and all this revelation, he hears the voice saying, he'll wipe every tear from every eye, and there'll be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the order of all of those old things have passed away. And he said, he who's seated on the throne, here's what he says. He said, I am making everything new. I would encourage you this week, remember that your troubles are only temporary. They may be big in your life. The trials that you may be facing today may be overwhelming to you, but they're not bigger than God. And trust me when I say they are temporary. But the glory that awaits us far outweighs anything that we will ever face in this life. So I would encourage you to look at your situation through the work that Jesus is doing in your life and through the promise that he has made, that we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. And I guarantee you'll begin to feel peace overwhelm your soul. And the struggle, though it wars round about you, you'll be able to say, it's well with my soul.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.